Good evening and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. So glad to see so many of you already on the line and ready to share in God's Word as we close out the week and reflect on choosing wisely. So let's go ahead and get started with our leader, Mr. Tullius Carr.
Well, thank you, Ms. Tiana, and I am glad to be here on this Monday sharing in with Mr. DJ. I'm you, Mr. DJ, Mr. Tiana, Ms. Tiana, and thank you for introducing us, and me and Mr. DJ about to take on this thing. And y'all know how we do it on Mondays. We really have a good time. We do this thing called, this is our learning center, but we do a little something called, it's like open floor format. So at any time during the call, hit star 5 if you want to interject what it is that you want to share. Okay? I like to share, you know, on Mondays, I like to share, you know, what it is that, you know, your opinions about what we're talking about. Now, y'all know on Sunday and Wednesday, that's not opinions. That's strictly God. No opinions. Monday, you know, we relax. You know, DJ provokes me to relax, so we're going to relax. Okay? We're going to let our hair down, the little hair that we got. Me and Mr. DJ have, y'all, you know, women have more hair. You know. So we just relax. Okay, but we do want, you know, your thoughts on this. And all we're doing is we're recapping the week and we're throwing some thought-provoking things out there. And we have this little segment where we do emails. I have some emails for you guys and especially Mr. DJ. And I got a lot of them this week too, Mr. DJ. So I hope you're ready.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. All right. So here we go. Let's go ahead and pray first and then we're going to get started. So close your eyes and bow your heads and open up your hearts. Father God, we thank you for giving us, Father God, this platform, Father God, the ability to even want to research your word and learn more about you. Father, we thank you for being the God that you are, Father, meeting us right where we are. Father God, not making things complex to us, but Father God, feeding us, Father God, to where our palates can receive. Father God, once we was on spiritual milk, Father God, but now we have progressed, Father God. Father God, because we choose to eat that whole food that you have for us. And we thank you for that, Father God. With doing that, Father God, you take us to deeper and greater heights, Father God, so that we can have a greater understanding, but not just understanding the word, but more specifically applying it. We thank you and we praise you for it, Father God, for helping and allowing us to crucify this flesh of ours. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to see this day. And we thank you, Father God, for the mighty things that you have instilled in us, Father God, to share with the world. All these things we pray and ask for in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
All right. So, y'all, we're talking about choosing wisely. Mr. DJ, we had a plethora of information this week. And basically, we were talking about a little decision-making. On Wednesday, we got it in. Yesterday we got it in. We had two guests on yesterday. One shared, I hope y'all had a chance to listen in on it, but she said a great, great testimony, Miss Ashley. And it was really, really interesting. Then we had Pastor Kim Bailey on last night, and she said what she said and did what she did, and it was awesome. Okay. But we've been talking about this whole week about something that affects our whole life, Mr. DJ.
All right.
And it's the decisions that we make. Mr. DJ, have you ever made a bad decision?
Oh, yes.
A lot of them?
A lot of them.
Okay. Have you ever made good decisions?
Oh, yes. And a lot of those, too.
A lot of those, too. But what about when your good decisions look bad?
Mm-hmm.
More specifically, what happens when your bad decisions look good?
That's not good.
That's not good.
That's not good.
And this happens, y'all. This happens. You know, the Bible clearly tells us to be sober. When he says be sober, what is he talking about, DJ?
I'm thinking that he's talking about make decisions with wisdom and not with any flaw, anything altering your thinking, with a clear head. You know, literally in the sense and of the way that we look at the word sober, not being drunk. But you don't always have to be drunk with alcohol. You could be drunk with several other things.
Okay. All right. Such as? What you got?
You could be drunk with influence. You know, it could be jealousy. It could be envy. You could, you know, it's all kinds of things that could cloud your mind and impair. That's the word I was looking for, impair your decision.
That's
you know,
good.
You don't
That's
have to
good.
Be just drunk with that, you know.
That's good. So, look, let me touch back on Wednesday. Now, we like you said, we can be drunken with many things. Now, on Wednesday, we talked about a lot. Okay, I'm not going to dive into all of that. But you just said something. You hit something real, real good. You said we can be drunk, impaired, and it alters. So in other words, is this why, you know, when people, you know, drink and drive, they do that little test where they have to touch, they stand on one foot, touch the nose, or walk in a straight line?
That's right. To test whether or not they're impaired.
And you said, well, another key thing, because you can be drunken with or impaired with what, you say?
Several things. I mean, you know, you're not going to decide that you're not going to drink no more, but then go hang out at the bar. You know, you can be influenced by several things.
Okay. Now, check this out. Is it possible that we can be drunk by fear?
Yes.
Okay. Is it possible that we can be drunk by stress?
Oh, yes.
Is it possible that we can be drunk by, now listen to me now. Can we be drunk by worry and murmuring, complaining?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. So, in other words, what I'm picking up when we talk about choose wisely, when we make decisions, y'all, in life, God tells us to be sober and vigilant. Be on the lookout. True? We're supposed
That's
to trust
right.
every spirit by what? The spirit. Correct?
That's right.
But we can't test if we're drunk. In other words, we can't test if we're stressed. We can't test if we're worrying. We can't test, Mr. DJ, if we are in a hurry and anxious.
That's right.
Did y'all know that? When you are stressed, you can't make wise decisions. Did you know that?
So true.
When you're scared, you cannot make wise decisions. And then we say that I only fear the Lord when we're bold, when we're in church on Sundays. But what about when we face the real world and you're in the real world? Do you make wise decisions? Now, I talked about it briefly last night because it's not something that people like to talk about, but you know me, I attack it head on with the Colin Kaepernick National Anthem. You know why a lot of people don't like to touch that, Mr. DJ?
Out of fear.
But say it. Politically correct. And being politically correct says I side with what they say, not what God says.
That's right. We talked about that the other week.
We sure did. So that's decision making. So we chose, when the Bible says choose, you know, ye this day, who you will serve, we choose out of fear. Because we don't want to be them people. We want to scave right up under the radar. Me and my family want to get by, but how can I love DJ if I see DJ going through something and I turn? Y'all remember the story in the Bible about the Good Samaritan, right?
Okay.
Y'all know the Bible talked about the Good Samaritan? Huh? When someone was beat down, broken down, he was tore down on the other side of the street, the two Christian people kept on walking.
Yes, they did.
Uh-oh. Why? This is good. Choose wisely. Why y'all think God talked about that? Does that apply to us today when we see people struggling and just because it ain't us, we keep on walking? But guess who came to this man's rescue? Someone who, quote unquote, wasn't godly.
That's right.
Why you think the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first? It's funny how when we make decisions, we say we love God, but that's verbal. But our actions say a little different. Just like when somebody say they choose to love you, and then we get mad at them because we say, well, your actions don't line up with. But see, I'm apt to say, put that mirror up in front of you, Mr. DJ. The person who did that to you, is it possible because of the decisions you made, you reaping? Is it possible? Yeah. All right. It's bad time. But Mr. DJ, here we go. Got some email questions for Mr. DJ.
Okay.
All right, first email question, Mr. DJ, and y'all can chime in, star five, if you want to answer too. Okay, challenge Mr. DJ. He's smart. Put him to the test. Okay, the first question I have is it appropriate to make decisions without consulting with my spouse?
Is it appropriate to make decisions without consulting with my spouse? I'm going to first say it depends on the decision and what the subject matter is. You and your spouse are one. Let me be real clear on that. You and your spouse are one. But God has ordained a husband with a certain purpose, just like a wife with a certain purpose. And with those different purposes, it doesn't make one better than the other, but one is supposed to be held accountable for certain things, such as the spirituality of the family. That goes to the husband. So I don't have no spouse to consult when I'm trying to get a decision from God. Sometimes you have to go as a man. You need to go to God first, then go to your spouse. Now, if you're talking about a decision on which car to buy or what kind of food, yes, of course, of course. But that's why I said it depends on those decisions are something spiritual or there's something carnal. So, you know, I would say the technical answer, I would say yes, because, again, I have to have that conversation with my father. Sometimes I need my father to tell me how to go to my spouse.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know somebody out there ready to challenge Mr. DJ, because the spouse, that didn't say it's coming from a woman. That could be coming from a man. Should a man consult with his wife before making this decision? Come on, somebody help us out. Start five me. Give me an answer. I need somebody challenge Mr. DJ. Can a man just say, God put me in control, you know, and I'm the head. This is what it is. Is that appropriate?
In that sense, I don't know about that one now, that Mr. Carr. We get the title, but I doubt we're in control of anything. we gotta consult the Lord, you know, to even sit in that hot seat. Because just like you put there in control, you get blamed for everything. So that's a special seat.
Okay. All right. So that's what it is. Nobody don't want to challenge.
You have a caller. We have a caller.
Okay, go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, I'm fine. I wanna chime in and challenge here. I agree with certain aspects. I agree with the way that Mr. DJ was trying to lay it out. If I am the man, the head of the household, then I don't need to necessarily consult you about things of God. But I just wanna flip it a little bit, because when that's a statement, I think, that can be made to someone who is spiritually mature. But we have to understand that we're dealing with people that aren't necessarily there. So I could be a woman on the phone saying, well, I'm not going to consult him then. If God tells me something, then I'm just going to do whatever. Then I think we have to be very careful when we're talking about consulting a spouse, because like Mr. DJ said, the husband and the wife are one, and if they are in fact on one accord under God, then it's not an issue to consult them. I have this going on, or God is dealing with me about this, and so I'm sharing it with you. I'm seeking the wisdom and the knowledge from God, but I'm sharing with you so that we can pray about it together, so that we can be on one accord together. Because when it gets to a point to where one person is not sharing with the other person, then that is a little slip hole, an avenue for something else to come in. And I think we have to be very careful of that. And even in the small things, because I saw something earlier, and it was talking about the way a woman was dressed, and she was with her husband, and she was dressed in such a way, so when you say things like what to wear, it's a consultation all the time, I believe, because if I'm your wife and I'm just choosing whatever to wear, I might be choosing out of my feelings, but if I'm consulting you as my husband, again, that covering is there and vice versa. And so I think it's just important that we, the husband and the wife are supportive of one another in all of their decisions.
All right. And Mr. Carl, I would like to also add to what she just said. If the wife is very spiritually mature and the husband is not, that's a problem from get-go. But if God has spoken to the woman, if you know, this woman may need help in trying to get her man back right on one accord with God. So in that case, that woman doesn't have to consult with that man. She would seek, you know, seek the Father and get advice from there on how to best put him back on track or help get him back on track. So, again, technically, I would say, yes, you can make a decision without your spouse.
All right. Whew. Anybody else want to chime in on that one? Can you make a decision without your spouse? Is that a wise thing to do? Everybody.
We got another caller.
Okay, what we got?
Good evening. I'm gonna say if you do make a decision without your spouse, being that maybe the woman in a relationship is more spiritual than her spouse, still you have to communicate, you know, with your partner, because that's the appropriate thing to do. You don't just go and make a decision, you know, just based on, you know, okay, I'm more spiritual than you are, so I'm going to go ahead and make this decision, and I don't need your feedback. You still have to have a good line of communication. That way you both, you know what's going on within a relationship and that, you know, you'll be on the same page. You know, because that can cause conflict if you don't communicate about the decisions that are being made, you know?
All right. That's what it is. That can cause conflict. It sure can.
And Mr.
Sure
Carl,
question
to the same caller, and what do you do if you're totally in love with someone and that person is not of the same denomination that you are? That's just for instance, say this person, your husband may be Muslim and you're Jewish or something, you know, something totally different. Then at what point do you make a decision in terms of consulting your spouse?
Is the caller still there?
I'm gonna say with that's a whole nother can of worms before you even, you know, get tied up with somebody of a different faith and a different belief. Like, I mean,
exactly.
That in itself like requires some type of counseling and much prayer, because somebody's gonna have to. that's a whole nother can of worms there.
So that's making a wise decision. That's where that decision making comes in at.
Right, but the decision making needs to be made before you go down the altar. You just can't like be a Muslim and like marry an atheist, because you're gonna have problems like within the first week. So.
Amen. All right.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you. All right. We had anybody else want to chime in on that? Can you make a decision without your spouse? Would that be wise? Am I choosing wisely? Would that be wise? God told you to do it. Do you have to consult your spouse? That's good right there. Okay. One thing I heard was being mature. Being mature, that's very important. Because if one is mature and the other is immature, okay, that can be a rough relationship.
Oh, yes.
But should you make that decision? See, now it starts to get interesting. Because in this relationship that we have, with God, one is mature, the other is immature. But you know what God tells us? He tells us to, in all our getting, get an understanding. When you marry, male or female, okay, when you are married, it's very important that you still give someone an understanding. The decision is already made. God's decision is already made when he's coming back. Y'all do know that, right? He didn't tell us. But he did give us an understanding that he is coming back.
Right.
Y'all follow? See, we are his bride. We are the weaker in this relationship. We are. That's why he says submit to God. Y'all follow me? So we talk about choosing wisely. Even when you are the male, or if you're the female, you still must consult with your spouse. If by chance you didn't want to consult with them, you need to be something called solo. You're not consulting with them to let them alter what God has told you. You're just consulting with them to give them an understanding of what's about to happen. Well, I know it gets hard, huh?
Very hard.
It gets hard, huh? Because as a parent, your child can talk with you and express itself, couldn't they? But wouldn't a good parent still let them know what I'm about to do? They can express themselves, but you're not going to change your mind. Decision made. This is why we must, when it comes to spouse and being married, you have to be equally yoked. Y'all understand this. Equally yoked doesn't mean that you all are on the same level in God. Equally yoked, therefore, refers to like the oak or yoke around an oxen, the big old wooden thing.
That's right.
Pulling. You have to be going in the same direction. Because we're not equally yoked if it's on the same level with God. But how did he marry us, the backslider?
Hmm.
That means we got to be going in the same direction as God. We're playing catch-up. We would never be on his level. But he said, you know, how can you befriend someone if you're not going in the same direction? You have to be on one accord. Somebody may be more deeper into God, somebody's not. But you and your child is not on the same level, but you love your child as long as that child is obedient. Even when they're not obedient, you love them. But they only have so far to go before you cut them off. Ain't that something? Okay. Making wise choices. Choose wise. All right, hold on, Mr. DJ. I got another little email for you.
Okay.
All right, let's get it. Here we go. This is our next email question from Mr. DJ. And I do want everybody to chime in if you can. I think this one is very thought-provoking, Mr. DJ, so I'm just going to throw it at you. It says,
okay.
How should I go about choosing which ministry to be a part of?
Okay.
In other words, how do you know your calling? How do you choose which one to be a part of? You have a slew of different options.
That's right. And this is very important. First of all, anybody that comes to a dwelling that just sits and don't do nothing, what is your purpose? So you have a ministry, whether it be one of the more popular ones or not. You may be anything from an usher, door greeter, or just a smile, or really listen, say amen, or help read the scripture with something, do something. But look at your strengths. And if you don't know your strengths, then look to others and how you have influenced them. And that's how you can tell your strengths. What are you into? Are you a good speaker? Then maybe you need to be the one that read the announcements. Definitely a good, I would love to have Miss Tiana at my church read an announcement because I can understand her crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can't do that. That's not a gift. That's not a strength of everyone. Some people get up there and know how to read but fumble over words or, you know, get nervous or you can barely understand the words that they say. Some people can sing like Mr. Carr. If you got a voice like Mr. Carr, then turn it out. You need to be in the choir. If you have the gift of preaching and delivering, then yes, you need to be up there in the pulpit. Don't go based on what someone else thinks that you should do. Don't everybody can't do the same things. You know, I wish I could sing. I'm more of a musician guy, but I can't sing. I'm just saying there's a niche for you, and you have to have prayer and patience. Lots of prayer and patience. You know, and I probably should say the other P, and that's just the musician in me, practice. Practice what you preach. Practice what you do. If you're an usher, make sure you're there on time. How are you going to get there late trying to usher somebody? Practice what you, whatever it is you're supposed to do. If you don't do nothing but simply help fold the programs.
Okay.
You know, some people just find it, but practice at what you do to perfect it. That's how you'll know that that's the right ministry for you. If you're a better DJ, Mr. Cost, then, you know, maybe you need to be back there behind the soundboard helping them get those tapes ready or CDs ready.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to close that email, and I got one last email for you, Mr. DJ.
Okay.
This email says, in a situation where I have to choose between saving my son's life while at the same time deeply hurting another individual, what should I do?
Okay, repeat that one again. Saving my whose life?
My son's.
My son's life.
While at the same time deeply hurting another individual.
Okay. Now, that question, and you know, I'm a math person, so I'm hearing two technical things. I'm hearing save my son's life, meaning that if I don't do that, my son will not exist no more. Okay, that's a very difficult decision right there. But then at the same time, hurting someone. Now, my coach used to tell me there's a difference between hurt and injured. If you hurt, you rub some dirt on it, get back in the game. If you injured, you're gonna be out for a while, but you still live. On both of those instances, you still live. So that's my son. I'm always gonna choose to save my son. But now that's the human side in me. God sacrificed his only begotten son for all of us. And in the process, yes, the same people, and I should say same fools who don't appreciate it, feel as if they were hurt, but don't realize that they were actually being saved. Those same people who were crucifying him, he was dying for them too, y'all.
Yeah.
He got up there and perished for the same people who put him up there. That's deep right there. I don't know if I could go through that. So
that's
I would
true.
Say, yeah, I would the human side of me, yes, I would. You may disagree with me, but I would save my son's life. I would. But now then there's some other circumstances to that too now. Because if my son is the one that's hurting these people or doing something that's not in accordance to God, then it's a very difficult decision, but, you know, Sonny Boy got the answer. He got to, if my son was a murderer or something like that, then no, you know, I can't do that. It would be some deep praying. Oh, it would be some deep praying because that's my seed as a father. But,
all right.
You know, if, all right. You know, but yeah, he has to meet his fate.
All right. That seems, look, that's the email coming in. This is our last email, Mr. DJ. Somebody just buzzed in again with their bell. And it seems to say, what does God mean when he says, many are called, but few are chosen?
I just spoke about that at a men's day breakfast. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many people are called to do certain things. We also use those sayings in fraternities and sororities, and it is very, very true. So it's the same way in being a Christian. Many, many, many are called, but few are chosen. You can call yourself to be pretty much anything you set your mind to be, but what you do, how you handle it, how you govern yourself, that's how you get chosen. Many people say that they believe in God and that they are Christian, but everybody ain't going to heaven. That does not make you saved. You can confess it all day long, but that does not make you saved. Just because you go to this big Episcopalian Baptist church, you know, CME and all of that, you know, you could have 50,000 numbers. We've had church here at the Georgia Dome, 93,000 people, three services. That just because you attend that kind of church and go to that kind of service, that does not much make you that much closer to God than the person that goes to a church that only has five people or us on this phone. So many, many, many are called, but are you going to answer the call? That's the thing. See, when you answer that call and have that conversation, that's when you're chosen. So many people are called. I mean, the opportunity is there. The opportunity, you know, with a phone, Mr. Carr, a lot of people can get a phone. It could be a wrong number. You can call President Obama if you got the right number. If you got the right number, but is he really going to answer? Does he know you? is he going to answer? Same way with God. You can call him all day long, but does he know you?
Come on, man.
If you his child, does he know you?
That's what it is, but y'all done got DJ riled up over here. I told y'all, y'all better challenge him because y'all don't talk. But look, I appreciate that, Mr. DJ. We're going to close this week out. You know how we do it. So I'm going to close it out on these notes, y'all, these concluding words when we're talking about choose wisely. Okay? Y'all hear this and hear this. Put me on speaker now. All right? When you choose and making wise choices, many are called but few are chosen. Okay? That means many called. Just because someone calls out your name don't mean it's what you respond to.
All right.
And call you out your name is what you respond to. Remember the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. The reason why people don't listen when God calls is because they don't know him. This is why, see, being called is being like everybody in a single file line, not facing the back head of the next person, but everybody facing forward, total line. Military. Everybody facing forward. God calls everybody, but the chosen are those who actually move.
That's right.
Many are called, but few are chosen. You are called by the word of God. The word of God is calling you right now. That's my down south rhetoric, but right now. The word of God is calling you right now. It's what you choose to move on. So is the word of God calling you. The world, Satan, and your flesh is calling you as well. It's who you choose to respond to. This is how God chooses. So in other words, God chooses those who choose him. Y'all follow me? You, I, Mr. DJ, we have to be very careful as to what we choose to feed on. You remember that saying, Mr. DJ? You are what you eat.
That's right.
You heard that?
Yeah, you know that?
Yes, sir.
You are what you eat. Be careful. Choose wisely what you feed on. What do I mean by that? This is what I mean by that. What is filtering into your system? Does television feed you your information? Is that what you're feeding? Is the internet feeding you your information? The World Wide Web, www? Is that music that you listen to feeding you your information? Y'all know, because when we listen to the right music, Mr. DJ, that sets the mood. That's why we make the choice to go ahead and dive in. Y'all follow me? Your chatter groups, the gossip, is that feeding you your information? Mr. DJ, I am sold out and convinced that if anyone on this phone, you show me your friends, and I promise you, I can show you your future. Show me the company that you keep, and I bet you I can show you your destiny. I bet you. I'm not a psychic, but I bet you I can show you your destiny by the company you keep. Show me who you hang with, who you run with.
That's right.
And I'll show you where you're going. The world says the birds of a feather flock together.
Amen.
But see, so we got to understand, when you make the decision and you choose to hang around or choose to be in that group, you're guilty by association. The Bible says to be in the world, but not of the world. Huh? Because who you hang around will ultimately influence you. That's your choice. This is why you must hang around those who will pour the word of God into you. They don't have to be so biblically and holier than thou to where you're like, oh man, look, I'm just getting tired of no. I'm talking about somebody who's going to check you spiritually. Mr. DJ, you know that's wrong, man. We can't do that. Mr. Carr, come on, man. You ain't have to talk to them like that. You know we better than that. That's the people that you need around you.
That's
right. Stop getting people around you that's feeding into hell, because you are what you eat. Whatever you allow them to feed you, you will become. Huh? Or your friends right now, think about this. The decisions that you choose now, choose wisely. Choose wisely. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Choose wisely. Watch this. Are the friends that you have, are they edifying you? Huh? Are the friends that you have, are they speaking the things that pertain to God's kingdom to you? Huh? Are they speaking righteousness on your behalf? Are they telling you about godliness? Are they telling you about morality? Are they? Are they speaking to that which fuels and feeds your God-given future? Are they? Hmm? Or better yet, Mr. DJ, are they merely just pulling you down, pulling you backwards, digging a ditch and a dungeon for you and them? Misery loves company. Are they doing that? Huh? So I repeat, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You better choose wisely what you choose to feed on. Feed on the word of God. Hmm? You say, well, they don't know the word of God. Well, either you better know it and feed them, or they're about to feed you something.
Amen.
Because it's easy for us to go from being prominent in God and to go into a pastime theme. In other words, you was once holy, but now, look at you now. Choose wisely now. Choose wisely. Surround yourself with people that's going to help you grow in God. Surround yourself with people that you can help grow in God. Don't take the glory away from God, but choose wisely. Because you are what you eat. And ultimately, if you eat bad food, you got to return back to that bad. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Make sense? Stop having those friends that tell you, girl, he ain't nothing. Stop having those friends that say, man, she ain't nothing. Stop hanging around them type of people. Start having them friends that challenge you and say, hold on, what did you do to make this thing right? I think y'all need to work this out. Y'all don't have to be in a relationship, but please, we live for God. And I choose to treat people how I want to be treated, regardless of how they did me. That's the type of friend you need, as opposed to the friend that said they left you. You should talk bad about them. See? Choose wisely what you allow yourself to feed on. Mr. DJ, go ahead and pray for us, please.
Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you humbleness on bending knee, saying thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful day. And all of the things that you have done and all of the things that you have directed us to be in your path. Help us to stay on your path. Pray that something has said, has lifted a heart, opened an ear, and actually brought some of us closer to you, Father. We all are here on one accord to worship you, to uplift you. We pray that you grant us traveling grace and mercy as we journey throughout this week. And just keep us covered, Father. Keep us covered. Help our attitudes. Grant us patience and wisdom. And maybe something said can be spread to bring everyone in our circles closer to you. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I hope something was said tonight that really helped somebody. Because, Mr. DJ, what you think about it? What you think about the call? You think it helped?
I think it helped, and I want to say a special prayer that we remain friends after this week. Because I know now, if you don't call me Monday, I know what happened. Because, you know, the Falcons will be coming down there. And, you know, that I can say that because Mr. Carr is my friend.
it is. Mr. DJ talking about the support. We get, y'all have a... Y'all have a... like, me and Mr. DJ going to remain friends, but we, you know, after the Saints win, you know how we do it. Y'all have a great night, and we're glad y'all called in. Y'all, we have Bible study on Wednesday. All right, Bible study on Wednesday. So make sure you join in and bring a friend, you know. I think it's always good to share the word of God. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.